Good morning. Good morning, the chair, esteemed colleagues. First of all, I thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity to speak in front of you and make a presentation which might be different from what you have heard so far. And I want to request you to bear with me because I am going to present a presentation which is more sociological in nature. And probably I'm the only one representing developing society. So my perspective could be quite different, and it may kind of thwart or demolish quite a few premises that have been made so far. Because I represent developing society India, and I presume I'm moving with the hypothesis that a judge, if she's a woman, she makes hell of a lot of difference. A judge is not simply a man or a woman. It's just not a human being. It's more than that. And I follow what Pierre Bourdieu said in his theory of cultural capital and social capital. So you cannot dissociate a human being from what his social or her social and cultural capital has been. So now I start with the what makes disempowerment of women in any society. We all know God is not a man. We all know Pope cannot be a woman. And we know that in last 200 years of all this nice talk, no American president could be a woman. And we also know that in 1909, Mark Linder and Ingrid Niagard, they wrote a book. Mark Linder is a professor, if I'm not mistaken, in Yale of law. And he wrote a book wherein it was pointed out that in the champion state of human rights, USA, women were not permitted to go to washroom during their working hours. And as a result, they had to wear diapers to their place of work in USA. And I'm not talking of ancient US. I'm not talking of primitive US. I'm talking of the modern day US in 90s, where they had to wear diapers to ease themselves while they were working. So in this world of so much of gender discrimination, we have to look at the issue sociologically, not otherwise. So moving to next slide, some theories have been talking about that we have to reduce crime in society, then it is two things are important. But I have already given this, that the high incidence of rape in US, UK, and Sweden kind of reject this hypothesis. Then, what is that makes societies so criminal against women? And therefore, the issue of judge being a woman comes up. It is basically the culture. And I'm referring to Indian cultural society, a culture of Indian society. If we juxtapose traditional Indian society with modern Western society, then what we get is this. And to explain it, Indian society has a fundamental traditional value of holism, which means, you can see, the whole Indian psyche is till date ridden with hierarchy, whether it is caste system, whether it is gender, or whatever it is. You know, there has been tremendous hierarchy, so much so Islam came to India, and Islam is one of the great religions which is based on equality. But even within Islam, there are caste-like structures in India. only in India or in Indian subcontinent where the culture of India prevails, that is Pakistan, Bangladesh and Sri Lanka. So, another thing is holism, I meant, of course, that in Indian society, individual is nothing. And then comes the continuity, which is whatever is going on is right and whatever is changed is sinful. And lastly, and this has led to all these problems. Coming to next point is that how discrimination takes place in India vis-a-vis Western society. Because we have to understand this if we want to understand that why do we want a judge to be a woman? Why do we want fair representation of women in judiciary? So, it is in India, it is very difficult for a girl child to come out of the threshold of her house, to get educated, to go for a job, or to find expression or of her personality, or to achieve her full potential. Whereas in the West, it is not. But fortunately, in India, if a girl is fortunate to cross that threshold, then sky is the limit. And probably this is true of South Asian subcontinent. And that's why we had premiers at the apex of Indian subcontinent, whether we see Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka. But it is not so. This is not the case in West. And we have heard already Pascal Viel, and she has given a detailed account with statistical figures on how it happens in Belgium. And just now we heard Professor Kate that she gave us about the reality of UK. So there is a glass ceiling existing. Then comes what ails women empowerment. Culture is the main culprit, I told you earlier. So I move further. Women are often pushed into a corner. It is the men's world in Indian subcontinent. Women are even killed before they are born. You might have not heard, but there is a prevalence of feticide. The modern technology has been used by men to abort female fetuses in the womb, and that has reduced the gender ratio in many of these states which are affluent. And strangely, this feticide is accompanied by economic prosperity. The age-old cultural system of giving preference to male child is still prevailing. Now, in such a society, do we want all judges to be men? This is a question. So historical inequity perpetuates and law has to change. Now, according to Indian census, this is the figure. And law provides equality to women. And we, our law, our constitution, provides equal place to women. And rather, in certain cases, there is protective discrimination or positive discrimination. However, ground reality, the socio-cultural reality, is heavily gender biased, and there is inequality of occupations. And this particular figures, of course, are very relevant. You can see that in 2012, women occupied only 8 out of 74 ministerial positions in the Central Council of Ministers. The female staff in scheduled commercial banks was 15.9%, which slightly rose. So there is a heavy discrimination already. Now, I have already talked about feticide, the missing daughters, what Amartya Sen wrote about, that in India, there are missing daughters, daughters who could not ever take birth. And that led to a very adverse female ratio, 940 females per 1,000 males. Now, there is a heavy discrimination and violence against women. I'm sure any of you who have been monitoring India, in December 2012, a rape shook the world, and it was a rape which was not a rape of a woman, which was not a rape of a person. It was brutality. It was, I would say, most ghastly act, animal act, perpetrated on a young doctor. And that too in the capital of the country. And that led to a social movement. And that was how I feel that we can justify that we need women judges. And I would prove it with my statistics and with my arguments. Already there is very low literacy rate among women. There is very high child marriage rate, and child marriage is forbidden by law. But still, child marriage prevents a woman to get her due in this society. And then we move further. Why? What is the scenario in judiciary in India? That we have to see. And this is what you see. There is 30% reservation for women at the point of entry. And that shows how government and our constitution is committed towards bringing women to parity. At least there should not be any discrimination. They are recruited at the entry level, 30% reservation, and they are, this is for recruitment to the bench. Of course, in the bar, there is no discrimination. Anybody who goes to the bar, passes the exam, can be enrolled. And for last few years, like in most countries, women are more in the universities than men. These are the statistics of Bar Council of Rajasthan. I could not produce the statistics of whole of India because India being a large country, it presents a very skewed figure. And a couple of states, we don't have data. So I chose Rajasthan, which is geographically the largest state of India. And population-wise, it must be ranking 7th or 8th, roughly around 800 million people. So, this is the statistics you can see in the Bar Council. And these are the latest figures. Women are just below 15%. And High Court, it is still less. And this is the situation of judiciary. Again, it looks, when I was looking at these figures and when I was looking at the figures from UK, the story is same. In UK, you have maximum judges or of women judges at lower level, and so are here. That too does not bring in a lot of confidence into the system because there are very few women, even at lower level. But at the higher level, there are just 2 judges in Supreme Court out of 26, and there are just 54 women judges out of 634 High Court judges across the country. So, this is the statistics that I have to put forward to you. Now, why women judges are required? Because that is where I feel that a woman judge is not just a judge like any other man or male judge. Because what happens when the lawyer argues the case of a woman who is being tortured under Domestic Violence Act? Often the other party would defend, saying that woman is torturing men, her husband, her in-laws. She's refusing to obey the age-old traditional norm of being a submissive daughter-in-law. And if the judge happens to be a man, he thinks that's very normal. Because when he goes home, I'm sorry to say, he is equally atrocious on his own wife. He is equally iniquitous with his own wife, with his own daughter. He indulges in dual norms when it comes to boy child and when it comes to girl child. So if there is a woman, she would understand that whether it is psychologically torturous if the woman is being asked to have the meals at the end of the day after everyone has eaten, whether it is torturous that woman is not allowed to go for higher studies, whether it is torturous when a woman is not allowed to indulge into a profession or join an occupation. And at the outset, if you remember, I had told four reasons of disempowerment of woman. When woman is not allowed to move out, when she has to cover her face, is it a torture or not? A man judge cannot appreciate that. Only a woman judge can appreciate. Whether it is torturous if a woman is not permitted to have a mobile, whether it is not torturous or torturous if a woman is not allowed to have her own financial decisions and her own bank account. So all these factors have to be viewed within the socio-cultural ethos of India. And if we really want to see that there is a quantum jump, there is a paradigmatic shift in the reality, socio-cultural reality of India, where women are accorded justice, where women are heard, where girl child is given equal treatment, where 50% of the population of a country is treated equally, then we have to have women judges. So, I move forward. Further, it's very difficult for a woman to seek justice in India because India is a vast country and courts are often located at the district headquarters or the state capital. And she has to move from distance. It's not so easy. She has to stay overnight. And in India, there is an age-old proverb, a woman, when she is not married, has to be escorted and under guidance of father or brother. When she is married, she has to be escorted and under the guidance and control supervision of her husband. And when she is old, she has to be escorted, controlled, and regulated by her son. And when that kind of ethos prevails, so you can imagine how a woman can expect to have some kind of justice. Then another constraint is lack of resources. The lawyer's fees. We have enacted a law which says legal service authority, where anybody who is not having financial wherewithal to contest a court case or to appeal to the court, the legal service authority helps. But again, most legal service authority people are high court judges or lower court judges, and they are often men. Even the machinery is composed of men folk, and that causes the discrimination, the apathetic bureaucratic delay in providing the financial and other facilities to the woman petitioner. So these are the problems which we have to see, and constitutional law in any country is not meant simply to preserve status quo, rather expand the cultural horizons and transform the culture of that country. And the problem is, you know, compared to West, in India, we are characterized by weak state. And there is a sociological theory. Whenever state is weak, family system becomes strong. And whenever state is strong, family system becomes weak. And that is what happens in case of India. Families are strong, family system is strong, state is weak. In case of West, the state is strong, the family systems are weak. And therefore, having strong family systems, our women are oppressed. Our women are oppressed at the outset. They are oppressed right from childhood, even before they are born, till the date they breathe their last. So infrastructure of judiciary has to improve. Gender sensitization of judiciary is overdue. And trust me, being a sociologist, I was conducting a research and I visited certain courtrooms. And I was aghast when a district judge was so insensitive that when a woman was narrating her story of how her husband treats, do you know, in India, an average Indian Hindu woman, howsoever highly educated she is, she fasts whole day for the long life of her husband, whereas husband doesn't do any such thing. You all must have seen Indian women having a red symbol, vermilion, in their parting, hair parting. So all these cultural symbols are all symbols of oppression, and we need to change that. And there have been landmark cases where Supreme Court has been very proactive, whether it is harassment of women at workers' workplace, whether it has been harassment of women by men, whether it is triple talaq among Muslims, whether it is a case of alimony, or whether it is a case of gender discrimination, whether it is a case of domestic violence, whether it is a case of child marriage. All through, judges, I am not castigating male judges, they have brought in revolutionary judgments. However, this is at Supreme Court. At lower court level, things have to improve. The court system has to inspire confidence among women so that they could go to the legal system and seek redressal against all this kind of discrimination. Otherwise, 50% of India would keep on reeling under discrimination, oppression, and inequity. And for that, I strongly plead, maybe I'm speaking like an activist, not like an academic, but I don't mind that. But I feel that if India has to be equity-oriented society, if India has, I'm not talking of equality-oriented, I'm talking of equity-oriented. If India has to provide the 50% population its due, 48.5% population its due, then we have to ensure that we have more women judges than what we have now. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Professor Mallison and Professor Agrawal, for these very thoughtful and enlightening presentations. Certainly, the last presentation reminds us of the importance of context, social context, historical context, and that our lens through which we're reflecting today, this sort of binary between common law and civil law, certainly has its limits. And that in that particular context of that presentation, certainly the North-South divide needs to be brought in more forcefully. So thank you for this nuance and reminder.